Good morning.
Good morning.
In case you, I haven't met some of you or you don't remember me, my name is Perry Scruggs, and I'm delighted to be back with you while Robert is away today. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. With you. Let us pray. O God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I see that one change you've made since I was here before is adding the children's sermon, but I see no children. So we will just eschew that. That children's sermon, and I'll preach at the normal time. Go ahead.
Thank you. A reading from the book of James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Although they are so large, it takes strong winds to drive them. yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of bird and beast, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and the Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening as both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of the Lord.
Find it. Here it is. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Let's see if I can maneuver all this stuff. Well, that'll have to do. There's an old story, it's actually a seminary story, about this profession of Peter at Caesarea Philippi. And it was said that, did you know that when it occurred, the great 20th century existentialist theologian Paul Tillich was there? And Paul Tillich was known to be a little bit heavy and a little bit hard to understand. Well, Tillich was there. And when Jesus asked, "Who do people say that I am?" They kind of sat there and clammed up, and then one said, "Well, you're John the Baptist." Because John the Baptist was kind of known, and they thought maybe people mixed him up. And Jesus kind of shook his head, and somebody said, well, you're Elijah. In case you know your Bible well enough, Elijah went directly to heaven. He didn't die. So that would be a possibility, because Jesus could be the return of Elijah, you know, which is supposed to happen at the last day. And so that was a good answer, but Jesus kind of just shook his head. And after a little more silence, somebody said, "Well, you're a prophet." And you see, prophecy hadn't been happening for the last several hundred years. And it was said that when prophets come again, they're going to, it's going to be near the end of time and near the time for the return of the Messiah. And Jesus kind of shook his head and said, "No." And then Paul Tillich spoke up and he said, "Why, you're the ground of my being." And Jesus said, "Huh?" Anyway, it was funny at seminary. What I want to do today is get into this story of the confession of St. Peter and into its ramifications for us. And I want to do that with a little demonstration. So I'm going to ask for a volunteer. How about Dee be a volunteer for me? You would just stand there and answer me 8 questions. 8 different questions I want you to answer for me. You ready for the first question? Who are you? Good answer. Ready for question 2? Who are you? And 8 different questions. 8 different answers. Very good. Who are you?
very scientific. That's very true. Who are you? A child of God. Very good. Okay. Very theological. Fine. Who are you?
I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Very good. Pick up his cross and follow. 6. Who are you?
I hate depression. I work for PDA.
Great. Tells you what you're good at and what gifts have been given you. That's good. 7. Who are you?
Husband of Kelly Taylor and father of our two children.
Final question? Final answer. Who are you?
I'm a member of St. Matthew's Church.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Very good answers all. I did this, obviously, to prove a couple of points. One is that we are always more than we think we are. Because we are who we are in so many different contexts. And so much of that is in relations. What relations do we have? Notice he came out with his relationship to this church, his relationship to the world through his job, the relationship of his family, the relationship to his God. Relations, they're so important, and yet they always identify a different aspect of who we are. Well, that's very much like what Jesus dealt with when he asked them, who do people say that I am? And then, who do you say that I am? They came up with things they knew about him, but didn't necessarily tell. They told a lot about him, but they didn't tell everything about him, because he was a forerunner. He was forerun by St. John the Baptist. He was indeed the epitome of the prophet Elijah, and he was indeed a prophet. But you know what happened to the prophets in the Old Testament? They got killed. All of that told about his relationship to history and Christianity and the Judeo-Christian faith, but they don't tell the whole story. That's why it was so important for Peter to give him the second half of his name. Because by that point, he was not Jesus Christ. He was Jesus, son of Joseph, or son of Mary, son of Joseph and Mary. One of the things you mentioned. But Peter had begun to get it. Said, you're the Messiah. You're God's chosen one. You are the Christ. And Jesus was beginning at that point to close off his public ministry and begin his march to Jerusalem. So this was very important. And yet, what did he say? Don't tell anybody. Which has come to be known as the messianic secret. Why did Jesus want to keep it secret? Because his time had not yet come, and he had more that he had to accomplish. And then he decided to lay out what it means to be the Messiah, and how the fruition of what happened to John the Baptist, what happened to Elijah, and what happened to the prophets would come to happen to him. That he would have to be going to Jerusalem, the city that murdered the prophets. And there he would be judged, and he would be killed, and he would rise again on the third day, although they probably said, huh? But Peter wasn't satisfied with that. He took him aside and said, Jesus, you can't talk like that. You just can't talk like that. You tell us to not to tell that you're the Messiah. Well, You can't tell us that it means for you to be the Messiah that you're going to have to die. What are we going to do if you die? What are we going to do? We'll be up the creek without a paddle. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. You don't think like God thinks. You're thinking like people think. Afraid of death. Afraid of risking anything. Afraid of giving up anything. Afraid of not being successful in the way that the world thinks we should be successful. In so doing, not only did he receive his name of Messiah, the Christ, Jesus Christ, but he told Peter who Peter was. And the initial outburst was, get behind me, Satan. And you see, that's the interesting thing about who Jesus tells us we are. Because at the same time that he affirms our humanness, he condemns the ways that we fall short of his godliness. For we are indeed created in the image of God, and therefore called to give, to love, to serve, to share, to risk, and all for the betterment of God's creation. But you see, we're also the Peter who denied Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times. We're also those who abandoned him in his hour of need for fear of what the world might do to us, what society might do to us. For you see, there's two sides of every human coin. There's the side that wants to be what the world wants us to be, and there's the side that wants to be what God wants us to be. And it's a juggling act to see how we live in that dichotomy, in that tension, in that which pulls us apart. But because of this, Jesus called the crowds back and he said, anybody who wants to be a follower of mine must deny himself, must live his life for others, pick up his cross and follow me. I had an interesting story about the cross, that particular passage. When I was just a kid in my church at back home, the rector was preaching, and he was preaching on this, pick up your cross and follow me. So he took one of the crosses, one of the crucifixes for the procession, and he laid it down in the chancel before the service started. And of course, when it got time to start, he looked in there and it was gone. Somebody had picked it up and put it where it was supposed to be, because that's what the church is about. We got to do what we're supposed to do. You see, it's not about what we're supposed to do. It's about what we're called to do. It's about risking and giving and sharing. Now, I know there's a lot of ways we say, well, I do that. And thank God we're not asked to do it the way that Jesus was asked to do it. But some people do anyway. This being the anniversary, 20th anniversary of 9/11, think about those people who were servants of society and went into the collapsing towers. Those first responders, police, ambulance people, fire people. They gave their lives in the service of others. They probably didn't want to. They knew that's what they were called at that moment to have to do. And thank God we're seldom called to have to give that much. But we are called to give and offer ourselves and risk something. And think about those people on Flight 93 who realized what was going on and realized the only way to keep the same thing being done with the plane they were on as what they had heard was happening in the Capitol, they fought. They risked everything. Now, in a way, you can simply say they were fulfilling JFK's admonition, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And that's important. And that may be the only reason that they did what they did. But I'd like to think that it was also out of a sense of their belonging to Christ and knowing, if even in their subconscious, that they had to give themselves as he gave himself, that they had to offer themselves, pick up their cross, and follow. Our baptismal covenant says, will you seek and serve Christ in all persons and love your neighbor as yourself? And the answer is the answer that we should give when Jesus tells us who we are. I will, with God's help. And thank God, God's help is readily available to us, not only in the person and work of Jesus, but in all the saints and all those who sacrificed themselves, we might be where we are today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith by saying together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please stand or kneel as we pray for the church and for the world.
Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church,
that we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you,
that your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons,
that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world,
that there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake,
that our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble,
that they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
that light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. We pray especially for Jim, Russ, Chuck, J.R., Pat, John, Jill, Zilla, Greg, Cindy, Joycey, Marianne, Kelly, Barry, Pete, Kat, Somerset, Xavier, Gay, Becky, Kelly, Paula, Margaret, Susie, Jacqueline, John, and Jenny, Aka and Ginger, Kelly, Zach, Steve, Kyle, Richard, Bonnie, Valerie, Letitia,
and we also pray for all who have struggled with the illness that has besieged us these last year and a half, those who have died from it. We give thanks for those who gave their lives that others may live or be saved or be found during the assault of 9/11. And finally, Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of life given to us in Christ himself and in those who followed him and took up their crosses to die as he did, that others may live. Almighty God, to whom our needs are known before we ask, help us to ask only what accords with your will, and those good things which we dare not or in our blindness cannot ask, grant us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Thank you for last minute volunteer. Peace be with you. Thank you for your gift. Peace the Lord. Peace be with you. I was told someone else would be doing the announcements.
I guess it's Senior Warden.
All I can say is there are lots of nice announcements here in the service leaflet, and I refer you to them, unless anyone has a particular thing to stress or to add. If not, then walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he'd given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacraments of his body and blood. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with blessed Thaddeus, blessed Peter, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. through Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you.
body of Christ. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.